Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter number 22. Remain seated if you would. I'm going to read several verses because we need the context of this story, and then I'll have you stand closer to the end, okay? I don't want to have you stand in for a while, all right? So we're going to read verse 1 to verse 18 will be our text for this evening. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Amen. Let's stand on verse 8, and we'll just make this our text, and I'll finish reading after we pray. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Hallelujah. My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Brother Gary, Abraham didn't know that he was speaking prophetically in that moment. Amen. But God himself provided a lamb who was himself. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to preach tonight on God has provided. Hallelujah. God has provided. Let's pray tonight. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the opportunity to be here in this service, and Lord, to be with our people. Lord, this is just a great congregation. Lord, I'm thankful for your people. I pray, Lord, tonight you would minister. Lord, minister, God, to homes that are in need of you. Minister to hearts that are in need of a touch. Lord, if there is someone here tonight that is contemplating leaving you, I pray that you would minister to them tonight and open their eyes, Lord, and draw them back to you. Father, I pray tonight that you would be exalted and deliver someone from sin. Thank you that you came. Lord, you're the ultimate sacrifice. And I love you, and I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for the freedom that we have in you. Oh, Lord, tonight we worship you and praise your name. Hallelujah. The people, Lord, could say amen. You can be seated. Thank you. Hallelujah. God tested Abraham. We read here in the first set of verses that God spoke to Abraham in a specific way, and he called him out of the place he was, and he called him to do something that is not common to the nature of God nor to God's purpose in life. God does not destroy life. Jesus Christ does not destroy life. Jesus is the giver of life. He's the one that brings life. It is in the nature of God that he is the life and the light of men. But here we see something so uncommon and strange and peculiar to the nature of God. He calls to Abraham and he says, if you will, I want you to sacrifice your son Isaac. Now, if we back up a little bit, this is so strange because God had just promised Isaac to Abraham. Abraham is of age now. He and Sarah both are beyond the time of having children, and yet by the miraculous hand of God, they were able to conceive Isaac, amen, the heir of promise. God had spoken to Abraham when he called him out of Ur. He told him, I will make you a father of many nations. Your descendants will be as the stars, amen, and as the sand upon the shore. You will not be able to count them, and yet here they are. Time is passing by. Another day, another year, another season, and there is no child. And yet God again comes to Abraham and speaks to him. Amen. I promised you that you would have an heir. And he begins to tell him, you are going to have a son. Abraham laughs and says, I don't know how this could be, but if it's the Lord's will, let it be. Sarah laughed in the tent, but it was a doubting laugh. She said, there is no way that God can do this. But God, the provider, comes by and does the miraculous. This is the child of promise. Now, some time has passed since Isaac has been born, and this occasion, some say that it was around 17 years. Others say it could have been even more time than that. We really don't know. There isn't a specific detail given, but we can surmise that Isaac is not necessarily a toddler anymore. He's probably as the age of one of our young men here tonight. Amen. And a lad to a guy that's 100-something years old, we'd all be lads, you know? I mean, We had a lady in our nursing home that we would go to, and they called her Grandma Todd. She was a grandma to the grandmas in the nursing home. She was so aged and just a wonderful lady, and the residents would call her Grandma. Well, that's where we're at with Abraham and Sarah right now. He is of so much age, anybody would have been a lad under 50. Praise the Lord. Even our 50-year-olds would have been a lad. I thought I'd got some amens on that. I want us to notice some things from this story, though, that I believe will speak to us tonight if we'll allow it. First thing I want us to notice is this. Matthew Henry said, God tempted Abraham not to sin as Satan tempts, but to discover God's graces and how strong they are, that they might be found to praise and to honor and to glory. God did not tempt Abraham, amen, to sin, but that he may find himself in a situation whereby in obedience to God, he discovers the omnipotent and all-powerful hand of an almighty God resting on his life again. Church, let me remind you, our pastor preached so powerfully this morning upon where we are in the middle of the storm. May I remind you that the almighty God, the everlasting creator of the universe, has his hand in your life and in your situation. And by obedience to him, and by faith in his word, we find that he moves in a way that, although sometimes is not describable, he moves in a way that is always to the glory and benefit of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. We read here that Abraham had faith. First thing that Abraham had faith in was he followed after God. Abraham had already left Ur. Abraham had already uprooted his family. He had already believed God, and there had already been times in his life where they were under attack with other kings and other nations, but he still followed after him. By following after God, Abraham's faith was revealed that he trusted in God, and yet God felt it necessary to one more time, after he had already been there and in a relationship with him, he felt it necessary to one more time make sure that Abraham had nothing in between his love for God. Hallelujah. Can I tell you that there have been folks that God has blessed, and those individuals have allowed that blessing to become the greatest hindrance? Amen. That between them and their relationship with God, men that have been blessed in business, and all of a sudden, God had provided it for them, opened the door, but that business becomes a deterrent in their walk with the Lord. Amen. Young people that have been given talents and abilities, amen, instead of using that for the kingdom, all of a sudden that talent and ability becomes a distraction, and it becomes a blocking wall between them and God. Amen. Can I tell you, church, God blessed Abraham.
and Sarah with Isaac, but he wanted to find out, is this something in your life that is going to be a greater love to you than me? Have we not all been there when we really had to ask ourselves how much we had God, number one, and how much we had other things above him? You know, I've been there. As a teenager, guys, I remember struggling with things and you know, dreams and ambitions, and always found myself in that struggle of who was going to be the Lord of my life. And church, I believe that Abraham's faith is demonstrated here by the fact that God said, Abraham, I want you to give me Isaac. And Abraham said, here am I. And he packed up the donkey. I don't know if I could do that. You know, I'm being honest here. This week, as I've been studying, and I've been thinking about Preston a whole lot, and I've thought about men in this church. Brother David, I just can't imagine you taking Noah to the altar. And I can't imagine Brother Bill taking Zach. And Abraham said, Lord, I love you. Now, his faith is demonstrated here not by the fact that he thought, God is asking my son and I'm going to just kill him and leave him, but because he believed that God could raise him from the dead. In Hebrews chapter 11, we find out that this is a certainty. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and that he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Abraham isn't just offering up his only son, he's offering up the promise of God. And he's offering up the promises that God would continue his name. And he's offering up the promise that God said, I will make of thee a father. He's offering up everything to God, because accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Amen. Abraham had faith because he believed that even after the dream and the promise died, God could still resurrect the promise. Why, if God was able to allow us to have a son in this age, then it is of no doubt that God could also raise him up from the dead. Again, Abraham did not realize what he was saying and what he was prophesying. But if you follow, amen, the parallel between Isaac and Jesus, you will see that although the promise was given to humanity, Jesus Christ himself had the power to raise himself up from the dead. The promise was to us, and he fulfilled that promise. Abraham said, I will offer Isaac, because God's able to give him back to me. Hallelujah. Abraham's faith was shown in that he believed God would provide a sacrifice. We see here in verse 8, as they are walking and journeying, Isaac is not dumb. He knows something's not right. Father, here is the wood. Here is the fire. Where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide. Hallelujah. God will provide himself. Hallelujah. Amen. You could preach off that one verse alone. God will provide himself. Amen. But he provided this time a lamb. And it found out that a ram, and here in a little while, his faith was proven right. But Abraham had faith that although Isaac, amen, may end up being that sacrifice, I just have confidence in my Lord that he will provide another way. Hallelujah. And when it seems that all hope is lost, amen, God will provide another way. And when it seems like we're up against the greatest storm in our life, God will provide. And when it seems like we can't get through the temptation, young people, God will provide a way of escape. And when it feels like we're going under, God will provide. Abraham had faith that God would provide it. Oh, the sacrifice is necessary. It's the reason we're journeying. This journey was about 3 days, a distance of 40 miles that they had come, and yet they had nothing to offer. And Isaac knew this, but Abraham believed. Abraham had faith. Hallelujah. Second thing I want us to notice tonight is that Abraham had faith and Isaac had obedience. Isaac had obedience. He obeyed Abraham first off by going with him. He didn't have to. Again, the timeline suggests that he was of a teenage years. I want to ask you something. Any of these boys, you may not want to answer this, but any of you boys think you can wrestle with your dad and win now? Yeah, you ain't raising your hand yet. Some of you are grinning awful big. I remember that. I remember the time I smarted off to Uncle Jim. I said, I can take you, Uncle Jim. We were out in his backyard. I thought I was big and bad. I said, let's go. Before I could even blink, he was on me, scooped me down, slammed me. I was laying in the ground. Aunt Becky, he hurt me. I'm going to tell you something, though. That's just wrestling. His father has a knife that he's going to kill him with. And Isaac obeyed and laid down on the altar. Oh, God, help us. Isaac's obedience was not only that he went with him, he carried the wood. He did everything his father asked him to do, Brother Rose, because he trusted his dad. He loved his father. He knew that his father would only do what was good for him. And so he allowed himself to be tied up. Abraham is well over 100 years now. And Isaac obeyed willingly. Oh, didn't our Heavenly Father send the Son? And as he prayed in the garden, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And he willingly laid down his life. The Bible said, as a lamb goes to the slaughter, and he opened not his mouth. Hallelujah. Isaac laid down his life because his father asked him to. Amen. He was obedient even unto death. Amen. Jesus Christ was obedient to death. Amen, but he rose from the grave. Hallelujah. Isaac didn't know what was going to happen, but he trusted in Abraham's character and in the relationship that he had with Abraham, to the point he was willing to lay down his life, amen, for the cause of knowing God in a relationship. Amen. Church, are we willing enough to be obedient, to lay anything down on the altar that would be for the glory of the relationship with God? Is there anything worth keeping us between our God and ourselves? I say no. No. There's nothing worth it. Abraham was willing to obey his father. Amen. Just as he obeyed, we are called to be obedient to our Heavenly Father when he tells us there's something we must lay on the altar. Amen. Because it's separating us and God. Hallelujah. I remember a time when we were out, I believe it might have been convocation or decision days, and I was in my teen years, and I was older, and preaching, and I had been listening to some stuff. It was Christian label, but not necessarily glorifying to the Lord. And I was praying one night, you know, and as young people do, and I'm telling Lord, I'll go. I'll do anything you want me to do. You want me to go to Africa? I'll go to Africa. You want me to go here? You know, the prayers. And he said, no, I don't really. I mean, and my heart just felt led. I don't really want you to go to Africa. I want you to go clean out your CDs. You sure about Africa, Lord? I really like them. Yeah. Before God can send us to Drexel, he might need to send us to our prayer closet first. Before he anoints us to go out into the world and preach the gospel, he may need to put his finger on some stuff that's separating us from him. And I'm telling you, that process of sanctification is not always easy. But when we lay our Isaac down, that thing that we hold in such esteem and such value and grandeur, when we lay our Isaac on the altar, all of a sudden the Lord says, oh, they want me. He really loves me. He really wants to have a relationship with me. And it becomes an obedience factor. Hallelujah. Isaac was willing to obey for the glory of Abraham and the Lord's relationship. Hallelujah. How's your relationship with the Lord tonight? Has he been putting his finger on anything, guys? I mean, I know it's hard in the teen years. I see it every day at school. Young people that know God and they feel so alone, and as they walk the hallways, they're surrounded by a world system that screams that everything you live for is stupid and wrong and ignorant. I see it all the time. But is he worth more to you than the approval of someone you won't even see after high school? But we destroy our lives trying to please him. Is the Lord worth more to you than what your family's approval says, or what your friends that you used to hang out with? Is he worth more to you than them? He's worth it. Hallelujah. Sister Becky, you said something tonight. You said, paraphrasing, this is the best way to live. And it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the best way to live. Hallelujah. Amen. There's times we've got to be obedient, church. But that obedience always leads to a deeper, richer, fuller relationship with Jesus Christ. Lastly, Abraham had faith. Isaac obeyed. But God provided. Hallelujah. Amen. We were just singing about that, how awesome God is. He has provided in ways that many of you could stand tonight and say, there was no way we should have made it, but God, and then whatever comes after that. We've talked about it before, how God provided for us financially in a miraculous way using people in this church. Many of you have talked about how God provided when cars were broken down and somebody comes by and I'll fix it for free. That just doesn't happen all the time. God has provided medically and healing. God has provided in the mental part of life, and people have been so encumbered with depression, and God has provided healing to the mind, and God has provided in families and circumstances. God is the provider, and we find he was assigned a new name off of this experience, Jehovah Jireh. God does provide. Hallelujah. How did he provide in this case? Because Abraham obeyed. He took Isaac up, bound him with the ropes, laid him on the altar. He's got the knife in his hand, and as he's about to plunge the knife into his son, amen, a voice from heaven called out and said, Abraham, Abraham, hold thyself. Do not slay thy son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lay not thy hand, verse 12, upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Hallelujah. Abraham looked up, verse 13. He lifted his eyes and he looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Hallelujah. God provides for his people. Hallelujah. Amen. What do you have need of tonight? If you have faith in God and you're obedient to him, watch and see that he doesn't provide what you have need of tonight. Glory to God. Amen. He's our provider. But specifically in this case, he's the Savior. Hallelujah. You see, it's Abraham's son. We read it and we think how horrible, but Isaac isn't our son. It's Abraham's boy. And I tell you, when he heard that voice from heaven calling out his name, you better believe that knife went back in the sheath as quick as he could, because that's his boy. God provided a salvation experience for Isaac. Hallelujah. Amen. That ram was caught in the thicket, and Isaac used that ram instead of Isaac, or Abraham used that ram instead of Isaac. Amen. It was a savior that God provided to come. And I'll tell you that our God has provided tonight. Amen. A sacrifice more beautiful than that ram. Amen. More powerful than any sacrifice known before it. Amen. Hebrews said that after he had offered this one sacrifice forever, amen, cleansed and pardoned those that come, he was that lamb. Hallelujah. He laid down his life for you and I so that we could be pardoned from death. Hallelujah. Jehovah Jireh, God is my provider. Amen. He's our provider in our need of salvation. Amen. We need saved tonight. Now that jargon, that terminology, maybe you're not familiar with it. I'll let you know what that means. It means that we have all sinned. We have all committed a crime against God and His nature. And because of that, we must be forgiven of that sin or we will face eternal separation and damnation in hell. And God knows that. Brother Dale, he said, I'm going to send my son, my only son. See, God did exactly what he asked Abraham to do. Did you ever think about that? The very thing that God asked of Abraham, he did it himself. Amen. They went on a journey. And Isaac carried a tree, wood up on his back. God knew that his son would carry wood on his back too. And they went up a hill. And he knew Jesus was going to go up a hill. And this time there wouldn't be another lamb or another ram. This time it would be his son. But he did it for you. And just as the same love that he did for Abraham when he said, I want you. I want you. I want that relationship with you. I'm going to provide another sacrifice. This time he was saying to every one of us, I want you. I want that relationship with you. Amen. And here's the way that you can take care of that sin. Here is the pardon. Here is the salvation. Here is the sacrifice that you need. And he sent Jesus Christ the Son. He provided a lamb. Amen. A spotless, sinless lamb. He provided him to be the sacrifice. Amen. The Bible says it's the propitiation for our sins. It's what covers us. It's what separates us from the sin. Amen. It's what cleanses us. It's the blood of Jesus. But just as Abraham believed that God could raise Isaac from the dead, amen, Jesus raised himself by the power of his own glory. He raised himself from the dead. Hallelujah. That sacrifice lives tonight to make intercession for you and I. Young people, hear me. The enemy wants you dead. He wants you to be on the altar so that you will die and have no a sacrifice to live for you. But tonight Jesus has paid the price. And let me tell you something, tonight we needed him to pay the price. Amen. I was walking down the hallway. I like to sing sometimes, and you know, I used to sing when I worked outside. I might as well sing when I work inside. The kids don't know the songs anyway. So I was singing, he paid a debt he did not owe, and I owed a debt I could not pay. And I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Hey, amen. I was singing that. One of my students was in front of me, turned around and said, sing, Mr. Brian. I said, I will. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to sing because he paid it for me. Hallelujah. You tell me that Isaac wasn't happy to walk down that mountain. Amen. I believe he was loving Abraham more than he ever loved him before. He knew the hand of God had spared his life. Pastor made mention of that tonight. Let's stand and we'll close. Music, would you come? Pastor made mention tonight that the reason we love God is because he is the one that did it for us. He saved us. He changed us. He delivered us. And so I just worry sometimes when I see folks who used to be excited about what God did for them, and they're not excited anymore. I know we get in routines. That's life. Some people put their socks on the same way every day for their life. It's routine. Eat at a restaurant, they order the same thing for 30 years. Amen. Routine. Serving the Lord, it's new every morning. This faithfulness of our God, it's new. And I find myself asking, Lord, if I'm not this excited like I used to be, why? Why? Why am I not as excited as I was when I was in the youth group? Why am I not as excited as I was at a certain place and a certain experience? And really, if I'm honest, I find myself it's because of three things. I'm not praying as much, I'm not in His Word, and I'm not spreading His Word. And I find that when I don't do the things that every believer must do to cultivate that relationship, I'm distanced from Him. Y'all hear what I'm saying? If your love is waning for the Lord, ask yourself, have I been reading my Bible as much as I can? Have I been seeking after Him? Have I been praying? Have I been telling others? Ask yourself if those three things are really being done faithfully. And if you are, then know this season's going to pass and the Lord has been with you the whole time. But if we're not doing it, let's start again tonight. Hallelujah. He laid down His life. Oh, if that doesn't get us excited. Because He rose again. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You know, there's things that I enjoy doing. But if it becomes a thing where it's between me and the Lord, then it's time to go. I was talking with some folks, they having issues in their church, and you don't know them, it's all right. Said, you know, it's really hard for us to hear our pastor tell us that we're supposed to be faithful when he takes a hunting trip every month and is gone for week. Hey, even as a minister, I feel that. The Holy Spirit putting His hand on things in my life saying, Brian, you can do better in this area. Amen. And I just feel like, Lord, I'm so thankful that I don't have to die for my sins, but that You provided. Hallelujah. Because if the roll was called on us having to pay for our own sins, we'd all be in trouble tonight. But because of the mercy and the grace of God, He has shown Himself again. You don't have to pay for the price. You just have to have Jesus pay it for you. But when we ask Him to pay it, there's a responsibility that we have to follow after Him. And as Abraham had faith and Isaac believed, we too are called to have faith in God and to follow Him and to be obedient to His word. Amen. Well, let's bow our heads tonight. I feel a call to prayer. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, and by that I mean you have sin in your life that is separating you and God, tonight I want to tell you that you can find Christ as your answer and find Him as your Savior. Just as Isaac was provided a Savior, a ram, you can be provided tonight a Savior and forgiveness. But it requires that you invite Him to come in and to do that work. Tonight I want to ask you, if you need Jesus, maybe you're listening online, you're not here at the church, but wherever you are, you need Jesus. Why don't you just pray? Pray where you're at right now. Lord, I need You
to forgive me of sin. I need you to pardon. Lord, I need you to do a work. And here's the thing. It's going to require that you have faith that he can do it. And it's going to require that you have obedience, that you confess your sins, and that you believe in your heart and that you ask him to be the Lord and Savior of your life. Are you here right now tonight? If you're here, we use these steps up here as an altar. But if you can't get here tonight to the altar, and you're sitting in your pew, I want to ask you just to go ahead and pray right where you're at. We'll have folks pray with you. If you need Jesus tonight, just say, Pastor Brian, I need him. I need him. I need him. Hallelujah. Church, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, Abraham didn't know it when he was obeying, but God, you used him as a precursor of what you were going to do later for us. Pray tonight, Lord, you would speak to hearts that don't know you. God, there's hurts that get in people's lives that they can allow them to fester, and God, it becomes a disease of pain. And tonight, I just feel like you want to heal somebody's broken heart. Oh, if you don't know Jesus, why don't you just let him heal your heart? Take away the pain. Begin a life of transforming you. Is there anyone that wants to come tonight? You say, Pastor Brian, I need Jesus. You just want to come. All right, church. Is there something between you and the Lord? If there is, you know, I pray tonight that you would find a place to pray. And don't, let me say this to our young people tonight, and I'll get back to our church. Young people, don't judge your prayer time tonight by whether or not your friend is up. There's a great need in the house tonight for some of our young people to lay some stuff down. Because you may not realize it, but we see that your gleam, or the gleam in your eye, is gone. And tonight he can restore that love and that joy of serving him. And so I want to encourage our young people tonight, why don't you just tarry in the altar a little while? Let the Lord speak to you. Church, is there anything between you and the Lord? Let him put his hand on it. It might be painful at first, but I can promise you this, when we get rid of it, it'll be better for our relationship with him. Oh, he loves his people. He doesn't do it so that we don't have happiness and joy. He does it because he knows that it's good for us to get things out that the Lord would, or the world would, use to destroy us. Let's find a place to pray tonight. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.